I am Tricia Rose H., and I'm a grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. And I'm going to open with prayer. Dear loving higher power, God, as I don't understand you, please help me to share honestly, clearly, and within time limits about my own recommitment to my OA 12-step recovery.
Recording in progress.
So that no matter where each listener is in their own personal recovery journey, my words can bring them hope and point them to the 12-step solution that works for all of us. In your loving name, amen. My intention is to condense several decades of my personal history of what it was like before OA and during my relapse in just the first few minutes, so that I can use the bulk of our allotted time to go into some depth of how I am working all 12 steps in my recommitment to OA, and also have some time to celebrate and savor the wonderful, awesome gifts of recovery that I'm currently experiencing. I remember the shame of sneak eating before I was even in kindergarten. In one particular instance, I had sneaked caramels from a candy bar at Grandma's house, and I was furtively eating them in the far back of the property so that nobody could see me. When I bit down on what I thought was a small rock, I reflexively threw it down before I tasted blood and suddenly discovered the gap where I had lost a baby tooth. I looked and looked frantically and excessively for the piece of caramel that I had tossed away, but it remained hidden, and I was heartbroken because I would not be able to trade my lost baby tooth for money from the tooth fairy. Yet, I remained defiantly unwilling to admit or give up my sneak eating. This self-will run riot and my defiant unwillingness to either admit my compulsive behaviors or give them up were hallmarks of my unhealthy relationship with food and eating over the next two decades. I became a cyclical yo-yo dieter. I did crazy things, unhealthy things, like restrict my calories to 500 a day, which is well below my basal metabolic rate, in countless vain attempts to achieve a goal weight that was unrealistic for my height and bone structure. I continued to grasp at my delusions of control because intermittently I could meet that elusive goal weight, and I assiduously ignored the fact that I could only maintain this unrealistic weight for about 5 minutes before I began regaining all the weight that I had lost, plus a rebate. Every single time that I've severely restricted my calories, I regained and rebated. I rebated myself to over 200 pounds, which is clinically obese. Yet none of this insanity was sufficient to get me to surrender or to ask for help until, finally, on Veterans Day of 1989, I had my last binge, which brought me to my knees. For the first and last time in my life, I binged such a massive amount of food that my body began throwing it back up. Not sticking my finger down my throat, not being bulimic, my body was rebelling at the abuse that I was putting it through. On my knees in front of the toilet on my bathroom floor, I recognized that I was completely out of control. I panicked in dire dread that I would choke to death on my own vomit. And perhaps slightly insane, I was more traumatized by my own humiliation that anyone would see the disgusting volume of food in my vomit and know that I was a glutton. Much more upset by that than the idea that I would actually be dead. The desperation and shame of this personal bottom gave me the gift of willingness, the willingness to stop stubbornly insisting on doing things my way, to ask for help, the willingness to come to OA, the willingness to get a sponsor right away, the willingness to take direction from literature, from my OA sponsor, from a registered dietitian, the willingness to give up restricting my daily calories below my basal metabolic rate, the willingness to use OA's tools to help me recover and to work all 12 steps of OA. Continuing to do these things one day at a time enabled me to maintain long-term abstinence over the next couple of decades. I maintained my abstinence through a very painful divorce, graduate school, major surgery, financial insecurity, dating, breakups, being physically assaulted, unwelcome job changes, moves, interstate and international travel. Bottom line, the OA program worked for me no matter what the outer circumstances, as long as I faithfully kept working it. However, I stopped working the program when I suffered a catastrophic cognitive impairment, followed by deep and prolonged clinical depression. When I stopped working the OA program, I started regaining the weight. I kept gaining until my medical doctor brought to my attention that my excess pounds had potentially life-threatening consequences. My HMO provided patient education explaining why and how their whole foods, plant-based eating plans would lower my blood sugar, my blood pressure, my bad cholesterol, my triglycerides, my inflammation, my BMI, and my weight. All of which, by the by, were in terribly unhealthy ranges. I wanted the restorative health results of their eating plan, and I most decidedly did not want to be put on the pharmaceutical prescriptions that had side effects and only treated the symptoms, but did not solve and would not solve and do not solve the underlying problems. So I committed my high stroke risk self to follow their clinical protocol, their food plan, 100%, even though it meant giving up foods that had been lifelong mainstays, even during my previous long-term abstinence. I thought they were healthy. Who knew? Because I know that I am a real compulsive overeater who cannot consistently follow any plan of eating using only my own self-will, I promptly took myself back to OA and recommitted to working the 12 steps of OA as if my life depends on it, because it actually does. Step one, I admitted that I was powerless over food and that my life was unmanageable by me. The spiritual principle is honest. And when I'm being honest, it's pretty darn simple. My shock from the number on the doctor's scales, my across-the-board unhealthy lab results, the discussion with my physician, a lot of unmanageability, not to mention my life-threatening level of stroke risk, all completely unmanageable by me. Step two, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. The spiritual principle is hope. I have clarity that I've got the insanity, and I was and am still able to take step two, because I also know that the 12 steps are working for millions of now sober alcoholics, thousands of now abstinent compulsive overeaters, and the fact that the 12 steps worked for me when I worked them. Step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood God. The spiritual principle is faith. I still don't understand God, but I do have direct experience that this God that I do not understand mysteriously works and brings recovery through the process of sincerely working the 12 steps. Therefore, I sincerely recommit to turn my life and my will, meaning my thoughts and my actions, over to the care of the 12-step process. I demonstrate the sincerity of my recommitment to this decision every day, one day at a time, as I continue to work all 12 steps and apply them to my own life to the best of my ability. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. The spiritual principle is courage. Upon returning to OA and recommitting to the OA 12-step recovery, I did a special inventory of the specific character defects and behaviors that contributed to my relapse from recovery. Denial is described by some as an acronym for don't even know I am lying. My inventory revealed multiple examples of my dishonesty in the form of denial. I had massive denial. I pretended that my postmenopausal metabolic rate, when I was now sedentary, would be the same as when I was younger, active, and exercising every day. I ignored my portion and meal sizes. I failed to weigh myself. I failed to get regular lab work. I failed to schedule regular medical appointments. I hung out in my oversized PJs and stretchy sweats, which of course gave me no accountability for what size or shape I might be turning into. I failed to take daily or even periodic inventories. In addition to all of those above areas of dishonesty, I have other major character defects and behaviors that directly contributed to my life-threatening relapse. Procrastination and avoidance, self-pity, self-judgment, and other forms of negativity. Let's not forget sloth, defeatism, false pride, self-will, and isolation. Step five. Admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. The spiritual principle is integrity. I have experienced relief from the burden of my shame every single time that I have given away a fifth step. And I know I'm going to be relieved after this talk is over too. Step six, was entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. The spiritual principle is willingness. Step seven, I humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. The spiritual principle is humility. And this is something where I have really made a shift in coming back to OA. Some of the character defects that were very, very stuck in the past are now being lifted. Because, I think part of it is because I've been making a shift between my, or from my previous attitude of I'm trying, which is filled with struggle and self-will, to I'm willing, and you can't really see, but I'm opening my hands and putting them open in a gesture that this is evocative of humility, of gracefully inviting, accepting, or flowing in God's grace. So I took this list of my defects and problem behaviors. Those are on the left side of the paper. And on the right side of the paper is the healthier recovery behavior that I believe my higher power would want me to do. And I say out loud, I am willing. And then I read out loud the behavior in the right column. And I have to say that the positive seismic shift in my thoughts, feelings, and behaviors when I have been doing this practice has just been phenomenal.
That's at eight. Burning, Trisha Rose.
5 minutes?
5 minutes left.
cool. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cruise through. We know that steps 8, 9 are there, but I'm going to move right into 10 because I do that every day. I do take a personal inventory. I use spot checks. I apply a self-compassionate process, and I use a nightly review. I find that the daily action plan can help me to stay on track during the day, and it can also remind me at night, comparing my actual attitudes and actions with my written ideals helps me acknowledge where I'm out of alignment so that I can make prayerful adjustments, which I believe is the essence of step 10. Step 11, seeking through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact. I love starting my day connecting with my higher power. It helps me align with the principles of the program. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, this talk is part of my doing 12-step work, and so is participating in 3 OA meetings a week, sponsoring other compulsive overeaters, fulfilling service commitments, calling and texting other OAs daily. And I'd like to close by sharing some of the awesome gifts of recovery that I'm experiencing. And I'm going to say them in the form of a prayer, because gratitude is also one of the practices that has really enriching my recovery. Thank you, loving higher power. Thank you, God, as I don't understand you. Thank you for the miracle of OA's 12-step process through which I am continuing to recover from this threefold dis-ease of compulsive overeating one day at a time. Thank you for my physical recovery. Thank you for helping me to follow my medically prescribed plan of eating and to abstain from personally binge-triggering foods and behaviors. Thank you that I'm no longer clinically obese. Thank you that I no longer have fat clothes or skinny clothes. Thank you that I have the physical fitness to enjoy physical activity, walking, day hiking, dancing, swimming, kayaking, playing with dogs, traveling. Thank you for, through your grace, I'm able to maintain all of my key health-related biomarkers within their healthy zones using only the prescriptions of the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous and my medically prescribed plan of eating and exercise. Thank you for my emotional recovery. Thank you that I no longer use negative feelings and moods to justify behaving badly. Thank you that I'm setting healthier, more sustainable, and life-affirming limits with myself and others. Thank you that I'm becoming more patient, relaxed, playful, spontaneous, positive, and resilient. Thank you that I'm now spending less time struggling with problems of my own making and more time feeling happy and content. Thank you that others are noticing and appreciating the positive changes due to my recovery and that this is helping heal and improve my relationships. Thank you that as we enter our 22nd year together, my beloved and I are co-creating a more consistently joyful and loving life than we've ever had before. And thank you for my spiritual recovery, which makes all of the aspects of my recovery possible. Thank you for the richness and variety of the ways that I pray. Thank you for the joy, inspiration, and spiritual connection that I experience through my sacred morning rituals. Thank you that I now love and accept myself as a precious and fallible child of God among precious and fallible children of God. And I think I'm just about out of time. So thank you so much. Bless you and Happy New Year.